Hey, church, as we continue in worship, would you join me in prayer? Father, what a gift it is to us that you have chosen in your grace and your kindness to reveal yourself to us through your word and through your son. And God, I pray now by your spirit that you reveal yourself and your mission to your church today, that we might be bold and effective in our impact in the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we are living in a time in which I have never been more grateful to know that you work all things according to the counsel of your will. And there are so many things that we can learn about, but so many things we don't know all the way, and we can get caught up on going down so many rabbit trails. And sometimes, Lord, it's helpful for us to get our eyes off of peripheral things or secondary things and get our eyes back on the main thing, and that is what you're doing in the world through the work of your Son being proclaimed amongst the peoples that we come in contact with. God, I'm praying for your strength today to preach in power, knowing that it's not the messenger, not me, that's going to do anything, but it's your message through me that can change hearts by your spirit. God, I'm praying for that kind of work to go on today. And I'm praying that in some way you'll bring comfort and peace and maybe relieve some of the anxiety that people are carrying when they hear the truth that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. It is the Jesus revealed in the scriptures, the second person of the Trinity, that we love, serve, worship, and proclaim today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning, Doxa Church. I'm your new pastor, back in the flesh. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to go. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 28, let me just say that I have, if you didn't know, had a wonderful month of July. It is the longest time that I have taken off in 7 years since we planted the church and got to spend time with my family. It was such a sweet, sweet month together. But I recognize as a pastor that almost no time is ever a good time to take time off. And perhaps in this season, maybe it was even worse than normal because of what's going on. And yet, what I can say is when I left at the end of June, things were crazy. And when I got back on August 1st, things were still crazy and perhaps a little bit more angry. And so Maybe I should just start like this. I would love to get on the same page with everybody. And because we can now start meeting flesh and blood, we're obviously having our tent services today. And I want to do this. If you're watching online today, Sunday, right, August 9th, I want to invite you back to the tent tonight at 6 p.m. Myself, the other elders will be there. And here's what we want to do. I just want to pray for people. Just want to hear what you're going through, how things are going in your house, in your life, whatever, and just pray for those needs that you have. Ask the Lord to work in some great ways and just be able to get some flesh and blood ministry going together. So let me encourage you, it's going to be super organic tonight, but that's going to be at 6 p.m. under the tent right at the entrance of our building. Would love, love, love to see you there and get to connect with you face to face. Well, we're starting a new series today. It's going to be a 4-week series, and it's a series called Mission Minded, okay? And it was a series that I had an idea about a long time ago, and the focus of this series was to really evaluate as a church how we're doing with our mission. And if you don't know our mission at Doxa Church, our mission is simply this. Our mission is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, I think it's smart to sort of do an inventory, evaluate kind of the Great Commission footprint you are having in your community, and how closely are you being faithful to that work in and through the church. And so that was the purpose initially for this series. But now I see in God's providence, and I really do believe this is where God wants us in this season. I see in God's providence even more, I believe, he wants to do with this series because of the circumstances of today. You and I are living in a season where literally every next thing becomes the main thing, right? It just, something sweeps through social media and it's like, that's the focus. We've got to do that. We've got to deal with injustices. We've got to deal with the political undermining ways. We've got to deal with whatever the next big issue is. And there was a part of me when I came back that I was tempted to just go down every one of those roads and preach a sermon on every issue that I was seeing out there. And then I was, as I was seeking the Lord and praying, what I began to realize is this. That sometimes the best way forward as a shepherd in the midst of chaos is to provide clarity. That's what I want to do in this series. Instead of addressing every issue of chaos that I see going on in our world, going on in the hearts and lives of Christians, what I want to do instead is from chaos bring clarity, get us back to the main thing. See, because every next thing that comes up can't be the main thing, or nothing is the main thing. And if you aren't aware of this already, this is one of the major tactics of the enemy to get us off mission in the first place. Let me see if I can illustrate it for you. I love H.B. Charles. H.B. Charles is a pastor and a faithful preacher of God's word, and he gave this great illustration to kind of drive home the point I'm trying to make. And he said there were some thieves that came into a city and they wanted to rob the bank in that city. And when they got to the city, what they realized was that this bank was heavily guarded. No matter how they tried to get into the bank, they were not successful in doing so. So they kept thinking and planning and trying to orchestrate some sort of a plan until one of them had the ingenious idea to think about, what if we caused all the local authorities' attention to go elsewhere? Like, say, by lighting a few things on fire, some farms on the periphery. And then when they're out going to deal with those fires, we come in and rob the bank. And as the illustration goes, they go, they set these barns and farms on fire. The locals and the authorities rush out to those places to put those fires out, leaving the bank open to be robbed. And the thieves run in and rob the bank. And the moral of the illustration is this. Guard the bank. Guard the main thing. We can get so busy, caught up in all these other things, that we are not guarding the main thing that the Lord is entrusted to us. And in chaos, let's bring clarity. So here we are. Jesus, resurrected from the dead, in his last words in the Gospel of Matthew, says this in verse 18, and this is what we're going to camp out on for the next several weeks. This is the main thing. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is our text for this morning. One commentator called this passage the climax and major focal point, not only of this gospel, but of the entire New Testament. It is not an exaggeration, he goes on to say, that in its broadest sense, it is the focal point of all scripture, Old Testament as well as New, end quote. What this commentator is trying to get to us is that the main purpose, the main missional purpose behind the fact that there is breath in your lungs, Christian, behind the fact that there is blood pulsating through your veins, is so that you would be an active, mission-minded, disciple-making Christian to the ends of the earth, so far as the Lord would call you. And what I want to do is remind ourselves, let's not lose sight of what God has called us to, because perhaps in this season, when everyone is looking elsewhere, we can be that church, we can be those people that keep the main thing, and bring Jesus Christ to a lost world. So each week we're going to break down a little bit of this Great Commission, and today I want to start with verse 18. Nobody is surprised today to hear, wait a minute, 4 weeks in two verses? Yes, 4 weeks in two verses. It's going to be awesome. I've got a good solid 45 minutes on verse 18. Here's the verse. You'll notice that before the commission, the Great Commission, it doesn't start with a command. It starts with this awesome claim. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. If you want to write down a title for the message this morning, I would encourage you to write this down. All authority is Jesus's. That's the title. All authority is Jesus. And we want to talk about that authority today. And so we're going to jot down a few points just to kind of keep us on track here as we look specifically at verse 18. And here's the first thing you'd want to know. Title of the message, All Authority is Jesus. And number one, when it comes to Jesus' authority, number one, write this down. All means all. All means all. You got to see this, church. Look with me at the universality of this passage. Jesus comes and says, all authority in heaven and on earth to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I am with you to the end of the age, or the Greek literally says all the days. This is universal, illimitable, without restriction, without jurisdiction, authority of Jesus. We are talking about the absolute, unrestrained sovereignty of the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we know it extends to everything because the words in verse 18 that modify this all meaning all, the way we see that even more clearly is the fact that it's modified by the words in verse 18, all in heaven and on earth. Now, last time I checked, that's all the places. Either heaven or on earth. Physical, spiritual, material, immaterial, all authority in heaven and on earth given to Jesus. This is a stunning statement. And we could so quickly, and I think we do, and I think as I was studying, it's like, I mean, I just move right past that. It's like a running head start to the Great Commission, and yet it's so essential we understand this. In fact, maybe it's helpful just for me to give you a little background into how extensive this all really is when we talk about all authority in heaven and on earth given to Jesus. How extensive really is that? Well, let's riff for a little bit. How about just starting with the fact that his authority is over all because he made all. Right? The book of John, chapter 1, verse 3 says, without him was not anything made that was made. He is the co-creator of the universe. But it's more than that. He is also the sustainer of all things. Colossians 1, 17 says that he, in him, all things hold together. Hebrews 1, 3 describes it like this. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Think about that for a second. Without Jesus Christ's willing, that which exists would cease to be apart from him. That's crazy. He's got authority over nature, from the sparrow to the stars to the sea. There isn't a sparrow that falls to the ground apart from the will of God. When the sea is unruly, it's Jesus that commands the sea to be calm, and it's calm. Why? Because that was the very voice that created those seas in the first place. we see that Jesus is sovereign, has authority over disease. I mean, this is especially important for this season. Because I think sometimes we look at the season and we just assume God is dealing with COVID-19, but that God has not ordained this season be. Well, God didn't cause it to happen, but God's kind of working on it from the outside. Like he drives an ambulance up to the scene and then tries to figure out how to help in COVID-19. And that is not what we see in the Bible. Here's what we see in the Bible. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, which means for diseases, the diseases are present or not by his decree. That's crazy. Even if Satan, for example, is the immediate cause of some of these things, like we see in the book of Job, he obviously caused and brought about this stuff, but Satan can do squat without God's permission. And yet God is over it all, such that by the end of Job, in Job chapter 42, it says that his friends comforted Job for all the evil. Listen. That the Lord had brought upon him. Not that Satan had brought upon him, but the Lord. See, COVID-19, loved ones, is ordained of God, and that is the better option than to try to defend and protect God and go like, God didn't have anything to do with it. No, it is ordained of God, and here's why that's good news. Because this whole situation will not last 1 second longer than he has determined, nor move one iota outside of the plan and purpose that God has. That's what we rest in. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will. How about this? He's got authority over the spiritual realm. We see this in the gospel. He's casting out demons. And in Mark 1, he casts out an unclean spirit. And the people respond with, get this, a new teaching with authority. Jesus is the authority over the governance of all the affairs of history. How much does that play into today? What I'm saying is no president, no governor, no mayor is in office except that God, through Jesus, put him there. And even more than that, Proverbs 21:1 says that the heart of a king is like streams of water that the Lord directs wherever he sees fit. God has instituted the spheres of authority that we exist in, whether the family, that was his idea, whether the authority of the church, or whether the authority of the civil government. One of the firestorms I entered back into in the social media world and beyond was the reality of John MacArthur. I don't know if you saw it. His statement from his elders titled, "Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church," and it was regarding their defying the governmental orders and deciding to meet anyway inside in their own building. Now, that has created all kinds of misunderstanding, and I do believe that their position was grossly misunderstood. In fact, I am looking forward to having one of their elders on our podcast. Stay tuned for a future podcast coming out where we'll get to discuss this more, but this is what I'm trying to say. The point that they were making, that Christ, not Caesar, is the head of the church, is absolutely 100% true. Because all authority in heaven and on earth is Jesus. Jesus has authority over sin. He says he forgives people of sin. Now, it's one thing to say that you forgive people of sin, which is audacious in and of itself, because only God forgives sin. Only God can forgive sin. No man can forgive sin in that way. And yet Jesus, just to be extra clear that he has authority to forgive sin, says instead, it's easy to say that. How about take up your mat and walk? And the person did. Jesus has authority even over willful sin in your life. You can't escape the authority of Jesus even in that. And one of the most profound examples of the fact that even when you're engaging in willful sin, you're still not outside of the authority of God is with the death of Jesus himself. Acts 4 says, man, Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentile soldiers, they all had a part of it in verse 27, and it was sinful, and they're mocking, and they're shaming, and their expediency, and the illegal aspects of the all these things were going on that were sinful, and yet, Acts 4:27, 4:28 makes clear all of it was God's predetermined plan. Talk about wrapping your mind around a substantial truth. That Jesus is so sovereign, his authority is so great that he can govern sin without sinning himself, that God can govern sin without sinning himself. Jesus has authority over life and death. He has authority over his own life. No one took his life from him. He laid it down. He has authority over spiritual life, right? He has authority over conversion. In the situation with the rich young ruler, man, he walks away so discouraged. How can anyone get saved? And he says, listen, with man it is impossible. With God all things are possible. And just to give you another example of how extensive this all of the authority is, how about this? He has authority over the mission of the church. He says it so clearly, I will build my church. I will build my church. We go off in that confidence. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. I love Psalm 46 because when all is said and done, no matter what things look like today, Psalm 46 reminds us that I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted. Here's what I'm trying to say and to show. Anywhere in heaven and on earth where authority could be exercised, it's all Jesus's. This is the extent of his authority. This all is kingly language. This is the expression of the universal kingship that was prophesied about in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The king who would have a universal, illimitable kingdom. This is what people need to know in this season. They need to know about Jesus. They need to know about the authority of Jesus. Let me ask you, when was the last time you shared any of these realities about the authority of Jesus with someone else? Or when was the last time you pondered the authority of Jesus such that you realize all authority has been given to him, which means it's all true, which means people are going to die and go to hell if not united by faith to Jesus? When has that motivated you last to step out in faith and minister to somebody and proclaim, open your mouth and share the truth of the gospel? Or Christian, let me just ask you a simple question. When was the last time you did an inventory of Jesus' authority in your own life? You done that? Or you've been way more preoccupied in trying to figure out all these things you don't know about what's going on in our circumstance and what's true and what's not true. And we have the truth. He is the truth. Does he have all authority in your life? Because remember what I said it? All means all. Well, all means all for you too, Christian. Does he have total authority over your life? Or are there some areas of your life that you're still saying, no, I've got authority over? That is foolish when we see this text. And let me encourage you to lay those things down in repentance and receive afresh that grace that Jesus provides through the work on the cross for us. All means all. When he says all authority, he means all in heaven and on earth. Anything that can have authority over it in the material, immaterial, Jesus is over it. Now, the language here is interesting because it sounds like Jesus was given authority. So then a question becomes, if Jesus was given authority, was he missing some authority before? And furthermore, what is that authority ultimately? And this is such an important question because it's tied into the way that we share our faith and how we understand how to articulate an apologetic for the Christian faith. How do I know that Christianity is the right religion and not just a path of many to the same God. We'll jot this down. Let me give you a second point. Number two is this: ultimate authority is a person. Ultimate authority is a person. What I'm saying is, it's not just something Jesus has, it's something he is. The truth is that there's no one who has the authority to say this way or that way is the only way to God except God, right? Nobody can just go off and say whatever they want on whose authority, but if God says there's one way to me, that's when we take it as truth and praise God, we have the Bible. Because every other book and every other religious text and every other attempt to understand God is nothing more than man's attempt to understand God. But in the Bible, we have something very different. We have God's revealing of himself to man. The Bible itself claims divine authorship and can be backed up when you put it up to scrutiny. This is a book unlike any other book. It is God revealing himself, and more specifically, as you open up the pages of this book, what you begin to see is that he has revealed himself in a person in these pages. Hebrews talks about it like this. He says, listen, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. He is our final authority. Let me tell you why this is so important for today. In the aftermath of some of the facts coming out about COVID and it being less deadly than was once anticipated, then the conversation within the church began to shift quite significantly over to the very real issues of loneliness and depression and suicide and all these other things that were likely, they were trying to make a connection at least to the absence of the church gathering together, and not even looking to comment into that as much as I certainly understand the sentiment of that. But what I'm trying to get after is the fact that this is a season, maybe more than ever, where people are desperate and they are at their wits' end and they're exhausted. Maybe I'm talking about you. Maybe you just... you tuned in because you have a friend or family member that's like, man, I just think you should listen to what our church is going to preach this weekend, and you take this in, and I know you're struggling, I know you're feeling lonely, or I know you're anxious, or I know you're fearful, or I know you're angry about something, and maybe you should just listen to this Christian pod, this Christian preaching that's going on at my church. And maybe you're hoping in some way that I've got this magic pill for you, or this magic bullet that's going to fix everything, some quick fix, something that's going to happen right away, that you coming to church, we're going to sprinkle some fairy dust on you, and all of a sudden your anxiety is going to go away and your peace is going to show up, and all of that. And oftentimes when people come to the church, they come looking for stuff, and it's not bad stuff. They want peace. There's unrest inside. And they want to be just released of the anger that they feel and the bitterness that they hold inside. But again, it's just, they're looking for some quick fix. And the Christian church does not have a quick fix to offer. We don't give a pill or sprinkle fairy dust. We give the world a person. That's what we give. You go, you want peace? The peace that you need is going to come through Jesus. The Bible says that he himself is our peace. Are you looking for grace for the sin that you've committed and the shame that you feel? Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Are you looking for a reason to live, or even confidence that the next life you'll live on with God? Hope is a person. His name is Jesus. Do you have burdens on your shoulders? Jesus is the burden bearer. See, when we see people struggling, church, let's not forget the main thing is to hold up Jesus. That's what we have to offer. We don't have authority, not in of ourselves, but we have Jesus who is the authority and does have the authority. We need to show him that everything points to him, that it's all about him. And he's the one that came and spoke to the Jewish people and said, "Now you've heard it said in the Old Testament, but I say to you." He spoke in a way like no man had spoken before. Most people are used to teachers quoting rabbis and other people. Well, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says this, but Jesus just goes, "But I say to you." Jesus is so radical in his speaking. He says, "I am the bread of life." Hungry spiritually? I'm the bread. Needing to quench that spiritual thirst? Needing to get out of the darkness that you find yourself in? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the door." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the way, the truth, and the life." And then he says, "And no one comes to the Father but through me." Now, those could all be words until we find that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Church, what I'm saying is we have something profound to offer people. We have a profoundly bold message about a Messiah, about a Savior, about the God-man Jesus. People don't need your take on the times. They need your Jesus. That's what they need. So what are you giving people in this day? Another political article or something about Jesus? Are you having a bold statement about Jesus or a bold statement about something else that's peripheral? What are you preoccupied with? You go, "It's Jesus for sure, but I'm seeing so much unrest and so much anger and so much dissension." Maybe it's because if we were really honest with ourselves, we're not actually as dialed in on Jesus. Maybe we've gone off on an agenda and brought Jesus with us, more like a hobby horse with Jesus with us, versus just Jesus as revealed in the pages of Scripture. Authority is a person. Our hope is found in a person. Our peace is found in a person. Now, what's he mean when he says all authority has been given to him? Are you saying he didn't have it before? Because, I mean, you're talking about some things that he did during his life on earth. I mean, was there a time before it was given to him, Matthew 28, that he didn't have it? Was he missing it? And the answer is, let me just be clear, no. Jesus was, is, and always will be God. But here's the story of the Christian message, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, that for our sake, you didn't even know you maybe needed this, but for our sake, the second person of the Trinity took on flesh and experienced the humiliation of being under the authority of mere men, choosing not to exercise the privileges of his authority, but rather allowing himself to be subject to the human rulers according to the predetermined plan of God, that he might be forsaken by God and die for the penalty and in the place of sinners, because the truth is that all mankind is under the sentence of condemnation for their sin against God. The sin in Adam that they have inherited and the sin that they have committed in their lives. And that goes for every last person. And Jesus has stepped in and taken on the form of a servant, come in human flesh, lived a perfect life, died a death in our place. Here's what Philippians 2 says. It says that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And 3 days later, all of the work that Jesus had done was vindicated by the Father when he was risen from the dead, saying that all that he had done had been accepted by the Father. And as such, Philippians goes on to say, and here's the answer to who gave Jesus this authority, when it says in Matthew 28:18, all authority has been given. Who gave it to him? The Father gave it to him. Therefore, Philippians 2, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Let me say, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It was the Father who gave to him that authority. He speaks about it in John 17 in this way. He was given authority over all flesh to give eternal life, to all whom the Father has given him. See, foundationally in this initial statement is a stunning claim that the reason that Jesus Christ has all authority given to him on heaven and on earth is because Jesus is God. The word here, authority, in Matthew 28:18, all authority, it's an interesting word here. It's the common word for authority. It's used many times in scripture, ekousia in the Greek, and it literally means this. This is what's so interesting about the word. It literally means that which arises out of being. In other words, it's the right to rule which arises out of being the victorious God-man who conquered sin and its effects, Satan, death, wrath, and hell in our place, which is precisely why, having accomplished that work and been resurrected from the dead, he can now come and say, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I give you a message. Something to do. Go and make disciples of all nations. See, Jesus can say that because he has authority over every society, over every culture, and over every religion. He has authority over every ideology and every philosophy. This is the very thing that makes non-Christians so upset at Christians. Because how dare you claim such exclusivity that cuts out every other option from being true? And yet, when Jesus says what he says, after doing what he did, and after that work being validated and proven, it's either true or it's not. He either did it or he didn't. And just because people don't like the authority that it comes with doesn't mean in love we don't proclaim that authority to them and plead with them to come to Jesus. That's at the heart of the Great Commission anyway. We need to get them to Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Number one, all means all. Number two, ultimate authority is a person. And number three, couple things as we go today. Jot it down like this, therefore I will, right? If all means all, and authority, ultimate authority is a person, then therefore how will I respond? Therefore I will. Got three things for you as we close, three points of application. First is this, therefore I will respond with obedience. If Jesus is saying all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, the response to you is to respond in obedience. How does that look? If you do not know Jesus, if you are not a Christian, the way to respond to the authority of Jesus is to turn from your sin, from your ways of thinking to God. So turn, you're going this way, you turn to God away from what you are doing. It's a change of mind leading to a change of direction towards God, and you put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died as a substitutionary sacrifice for your sin. Or the language you might hear from a Christian friend is you need to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Now, I don't disagree at all with the sentiment of that, and I think it's true. You have to personalize it. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord, which means master, which means he's calling the shots now. But I want to say this. I want us to be careful that when we say we're going to make him my personal Lord and Savior, you don't make Jesus Lord. He is Lord. You simply repent of your unbelief in not acknowledging that, and now you're acknowledging that, and you're coming under that, and you're placing all your faith, not in your works, not in your efforts, not in what you do, but solely and completely in the finished work of Jesus. But how does it look like in a Christian's life? If all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, then the words that come next must have our attention. What I'm saying is this: because of Jesus' authority, he has authority to tell us his mission is our mission. He has authority to tell us his agenda is my agenda. His priorities are my priorities, and they ought to be prioritized in the way he wants them prioritized. And we get that as revealed in the pages of Scripture, but that is how we ought to respond with obedience. But number two is this: therefore, I will respond with confidence. This whole thing, without this declaration in verse 18, how would we know we have any chance of succeeding in this? But because of this declaration and the finished work of Jesus Christ, this gives us clarity that his mission will not be stopped and cannot be stopped. So what that should do is when we think, man, who am I to have the audacity to walk across my office and sit down with that person that I've been wanting to talk to in their cubicle and talk about Jesus? Or who am I to think that stirring inside of me to go somewhere as a missionary, to reach people far from Jesus, or maybe an unreached people group, who am I to think that I could be a part of that and tell these people that they're dead in their trespasses and sins and that they're children of wrath, but God has sent Jesus? The good news is that Jesus has come. Right? Who am I? Man, it's not on your authority. But if Jesus, if all authority is Jesus, then it's the only thing that makes sense to walk in confidence and boldness and clarity, because any sacrifice, commitment to obedience that we exercise, man, we will not regret. And number three, therefore I will respond with boldness. Because of the authority given to Jesus, we ought to respond with boldness. A bold, for example, prayer life. It's so interesting to me. People say, well, I don't even know why you pray if God's sovereign. And I'm like, I don't know why you would pray if God wasn't. Like, we don't pray like we're hoping God's not sovereign. We pray like we're hoping he is, right? Remove the blindness from their eyes. Give them a new heart, right? We're not asking them, hey, God, participate with the sinner a little bit and help them get there. No, our prayers are, God, do the work that only you can do in the life of a person who doesn't know Jesus, of an unbeliever. Man, our prayers should be bold. I'm not convinced there's a more effective means of evangelism than our prayers. I'm not convinced there's a more effective means of sanctification than the word and prayer. Because the Bible's made that so clear. I remember talking about prayer. I mentioned it in my message on social justice and the gospel back in June, and I remember how many people were like, wow, I was just so convicted when you talked about wearing the floorboards out as you're praying, and man, I just got to go do that. And I wonder a month and a half later how those floorboards are doing in your house. Like, see, what I'm convinced of is the fact that, man, we get convicted about prayer, but nothing actually changes in our prayer life, or at least not for long. Maybe that week it was like, man, this is strong. See, we don't need to just have these kind of ups and downs. We're talking about a transformed life. If all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, his mission ought to be supreme in our life, and we ought to be consistently on our knees pleading for him to do what only he can do, for he is faithful and all authority is his. And then maybe this last way, responding with boldness, a bold prayer life and bold in our evangelism. Why? Because Jesus has authority over conversion. If they're his, they can't reject the gospel even if they wanted to. In that moment, he brings them to conversion. And so our responsibility is not to convert them. That's God's role. Our responsibility is to persuade them of the good news of the gospel. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And the way God has seen fit to draw people to himself is that God wants to make his appeal through you, through us. And I love how that verse finishes in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul says, we implore you on behalf of Christ. And this is our plea from Doxa Church. Be reconciled to God. That's our message. This is the main thing. A mission-minded, missional lifestyle for the glory of God, built upon the foundation that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Let's pray. What a tremendous truth, Lord, this is in verse 18. Thank you so much for the opportunity just to sit one place and stew for a while. If nothing else after this, it's a reminder to me of how quickly I can read past such profound texts in Scripture. Trying to get to the main thing, or even just read past it because you kind of memorize verses like these. And yet there is so much depth and so much richness there, and we have only scratched the surface in our time together. But Father, I pray that those who call you Lord and who call Jesus their Savior, I pray that this authority would awaken them, it would shake them, it would shake our church, that we wouldn't get complacent in our commission from the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples, but that as things come in, especially in this season, we will not lose sight of or displace Jesus and his command for other, maybe important, but not as important as the main thing. Father, do the work that only you can do in the lives of those who are hearing today and don't believe. Cause them to be born again by your Spirit and awaken their awaken them from the dead. Give them new eyes so they can see the glory of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.